They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Gearing up for a spending fight.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. One way or another, Congress is going to have to pass an emergency spending bill to pay for the war in Iraq and Gulf Coast hurricane recovery. One way would be the Senate's version. It's $109 billion, piled high with all sorts of add-ons. The other way would be the slimmer House bill. And then there's the president, waiting at his desk. Here's Hillary Wackay.
The House version of the emergency spending bill totals nearly $92 billion, and the president has threatened to veto anything over $94.5 billion. Both are far from the Senate's $109 billion. Former House Appropriations staff leader Jim Dyer says House Republicans don't seem willing to spend more, and he doubts the Senate will want to spend less.
Too much blood has been spilled on it, and there is too much money for the Gulf Coast contained in the Senate bill. My reflex would be to say, well, maybe we'll split the baby up the middle. But I don't know that that would be acceptable to the House Republicans.
So how did the Senate bill get so big? Lawmakers tacked on about $9 billion more than the House in Gulf Coast aid for everything from levies to election assistance. Then they added money for agricultural disaster relief, avian flu, and fisheries. In Washington, I'm Hillary Wackay for Marketplace.
By the way, yesterday the House also approved a measure that would go after oil companies for price gouging. Oil prices actually dropped a bit today. They're around $72 a barrel. But a new government report suggests they aren't coming down significantly anytime soon. So drivers better get used to wincing at those gas station signs. Stacey Vanek Smith reports.
Gas prices will not be going south for the summer or the fall. Averages are predicted to stay above $2.80 a gallon. Now it looks like consumers are starting to cut back a bit on their time behind the wheel. So far this year, demand for gasoline is running at about 0.2%, far below the average annual growth of 1.7%. But is it a permanent change? Robert Bryce is the managing editor of Energy Tribune. He says don't bet on it.
I think $5 is probably the pain point at which people will really get serious about changing their driving habits and about changing the types of cars that they drive.
Bryce says high oil prices are partly to blame for the pain at the pump, but also points to U.S. gas regulations mandating higher ethanol content and reductions in sulfur. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
The United Auto Workers Union has asked its locals to vote on whether to authorize a strike at car parts supplier Delphi. Delphi wants to cut hourly wages and has asked a bankruptcy judge for the right to cancel its union contracts if the workers don't go along. This could all end badly for General Motors, Delphi's largest customer. A strike could cost GM up to $130 million a day. Picasso's artwork is timeless and really expensive. Yesterday, a portrait of his mistress went for $95 million at a Sotheby's auction. That's the second highest art price tag in history. A couple of years ago, another Picasso went for $104 million. The Dow fell 16 points to 11,400. The Nasdaq dropped 5. The S&P 500 also lost 5 points. Apparently, I need to go back to math class. Yesterday, I said Los Angeles had been without an NFL team for 14 years. It's only 12. This is Marketplace. Walmart's giving itself an advertising makeover. Lisa Napoli reports.
For the first time in 30 years, Walmart has put its $578 million advertising account under review. But that doesn't mean the two agencies that spread the word about the house that Sam built are getting the boot. Jack Neff of Advertising Age says Walmart's new chief marketing officer, who defected from Target, needs to chargeify the retail giant.
They're going to have to trade up consumers who are middle class, upper middle class, who are already coming into their stores and get more of their dollars.
Neff says it's unusual for a company to review every single aspect of its advertising strategy at once, as Walmart is doing, but he says crafting a new image for Walmart is seen as critical to the retail giant's success. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, celebrating women and women's health. Information and health resources on women's health issues available at womenshealth.gov. By the American Public Transportation Association, committed to making America energy independent through increased use of public transportation. On the web at publictransportation.org. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. As you're well aware, some in Congress want to clamp down on the flow of immigrants coming into this country. At the same time, many lawmakers are really skeptical of foreign companies taking over American assets. Remember the Dubai ports issue? You could argue it all adds up to a growing sense of protectionism. Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell believes that's no good for the economy.
If you look at our economy over the past 25 years, open borders, international trade, immigration, this has been a huge boon to the U.S. economy. It's one of the reasons why American companies are among the most productive in the world. And I think the great risk right now is a rising tide of protectionism, whether that is against companies coming here, like the Dubai ports that you mentioned, or the sense that we've had enough with immigrants.
So are you suggesting that the government should just have a laissez-faire attitude about these issues and just stay hands off?
Well, what I'm saying is we have a system that's working pretty well right now. Don't change it. You know, there is a body, very respected body, that when there are certain mergers and acquisitions that have implications potentially for national security, it looks at it. What you don't want, what we really don't want, is for the K Street lobbyists representing a domestic company that is in trouble, all of a sudden realizing that all they got to do to keep the competition out, do a little lobbying on Capitol Hill. That's the real danger. So that's what worries me. And I think that's why we need to have what the Wall Street Journal editorial page says, you know, we don't want Congress Inc.
Well, how does the issue of immigration fit into this issue in terms of protectionism?
Well, I think immigrants are the steroids of economic growth here in the U.S. economy and have been for the past 25 years or so. And, you know, we talk about open borders in terms of capital, you know, money flows, global economy. We also had the flow of people. And this economy has been incredibly successful at absorbing immigrants, many of whom are among the best and brightest, who are playing important roles in Silicon Valley, Route 128, the suburbs of the Beltway in Washington, D.C., and also doing a lot of jobs here. And you don't want to create barriers to people, at least the way that is being discussed right now. No nation can completely open its borders. But the system, despite all the hyperbole that's going on, the system was largely working.
All right, Chris, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Chris Farrell is also with our weekend program, Marketplace Money. I have a feeling you might have something to say about this issue, so if you do, feel free to log on to our website, marketplace.org, and send us an email. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.